Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to Pittsburgh for the Big Ten ACC Challenge tonight. Penn State and Pitt at Peterson beginning at 7:30 tonight. We're on beginning at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night on Eagle 107, it is Kent State and Bucknell. Kent State is 8-1 on the season. We are joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome back. Thanks a lot for accommodating us today. We appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm just glad you took my call, Steve. Yesterday I was on hold. I heard about deer hunting season. I think there are 7 or 8 football stories. And listen, I get where we sit. You know, we win a couple, I get right on the show. We lose a couple, put me on hold for 45 minutes. So I'm just grateful to be in your presence. Kevin Hurd pulled me up today.
Thanks, Dave.
That was the best. You did that well, too, I might add.
That was well done, except I owe you an apology because that was actually my fault yesterday.
Hey, lovely. That was fine. Being on hold stopped me from jumping off a bridge, so that was good. That was good for everyone.
Oh, good. Well, if we could do that, you know, maybe. I'll tell you one quick story about that. One time, Jack Hamm called me up. A Penn State player in the preseason got hurt. Yeah. And Jack said, I'm on the Liberty Street Bridge right now. He said, should I jump? I said, no, Jack, you'll only be wounded. All right, so, you know, you got to put it in perspective sometimes.
That's right.
Hey, Chris. Give me a little perspective, by the way, on Chris Haas. Chris Haas and what he brings to the table for you.
Well, he's a sophomore in eligibility. He looks like he's about 14. But he's just teeming with potential, and he showed that last year in practice. He scored a boatload of points in a small school in Michigan. The adjustment physically last year was a bit much for him. I thought early going he played meaningful minutes, didn't really get a lot done, but didn't look scared, didn't look awed by it, which I was excited about, because we knew what he can do in practice. In the last two games, he's been at double figures and really gave us a spark. Yesterday in practice, he was phenomenal. He's going to have bad days because he's new and he's young, but he's one of the guys we have. He can shoot the three. He can put the ball on the floor and finish at the rim. He's deceptively athletic, and he's just a ton of fun to coach. So it's going to be exciting watching his maturation.
When you recruit somebody, I'm sure there are a couple that you recruit. You know what? They've got what it takes to play right away. Are there guys that you recruit say to yourself, I think in 2 years this can be a real contributor for it? Do you sometimes get into a mode in recruiting with some guys like that?
Yes. I think you have to. I think you have to anywhere, but certainly at Bucknell, we're not getting the one-and-done guys. And, you know, we kind of view our program the way maybe most college programs were run 15, 20 years ago. If you have a good team and you have a good program, it's pretty hard to play as a freshman. Especially when you're not getting the 1 or 2 year guys that go in the NBA. And with Chris, the things that he lacked when we recruited him, we felt would be alleviated over time as he just grew and got stronger and matured physically. But he had all the raw tools, and more than anything, we just liked his makeup in terms of that he really wanted to be a good player.
With the rules the way they are, and you're used to this, you pointed out the rules, and that's the style of play that you've always liked to coach. Give me an idea what Ryan Frazier as a defender brings to the table and how he has been able to adapt with ease to how this game is being called.
Well, you know, he has and he hasn't. I mean, he certainly did a great job when we played at Penn State defensively. I thought he did a great job at St. John's. He got a tough whistle at Mount St. Mary's. He got a tough whistle against Penn State, so he picked up fouls, and and he's our best on-ball defender. But it's funny, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, I thought that, you know, the different interpretation would maybe aid our team, because we're not the most physical of groups, and maybe we'd be able to get to the rim, and to some degree that's been true. The other thing is we did a great job guarding the ball in the last couple of years, and part of it was having Mike Muscala in the back line as a rim protector, but we're picking up way more fouls, Steve, than we ever have, and because of that we're having a harder time containing dribble penetration. So that's, you know, an ongoing source of concern for me on the defensive end.
It's interesting. Yet you're trying to translate to the offensive end as well. Have you adapted there on the offensive end?
Well, you know, we it's funny. I mean, we've had some games where we've looked great offensively. In our last two games, we looked bad offensively. And, you know, I'm trying to keep a pretty balanced perspective, at least now, 24 hours later than what I called yesterday. I got things in a little better perspective. This is kind of the way this group has looked in practice, a little bit up and down offensively as we're tinkering with a new offensive system, as we're tinkering with new guys and positions. And now what happens is, as teams guard us differently, so Mount St. Mary's defended us differently, and then Princeton defended us differently, and different than anyone else had previously, and different than the way we played defensively. So part of our maturation is learning, okay, here's how, you know, this particular team is going to guard one of our actions. Here's our reads and reactions. And it's one thing to practice it, it's another thing to do it in live competition. So even though we played poorly, I thought, offensively the last two games, I think we'll be better for it by being exposed to different defensive styles.
The three-point shooting against Princeton ultimately ends up being the statistical difference. I mean, I don't think it takes a genius on my part to say, hey, 10 of 25 versus 1 of 11. Were you getting good shots and they didn't fall, or were they contested and they were tough shots?
We got a few good shots. I mean, I would say some of them were good, but we didn't get as many, you know, and again, whereas in some of our games when Steve Casper or other guys would drive and get to the rim, they would have to help. Like even the Penn State game that you saw, you know, Steve could get to the rim. He was finishing. He was scoring. Now Penn State has to make a decision if they help, and now we kick out and hit threes. The last couple of games, at the point of attack, teams have been able to kind of win the turf battle with Steven. And he hasn't finished at the same level, and so teams have not helped. You know, they've stayed tight on our three-point shooters. And so that's an adjustment that we have to be able to read and get to our second or third option, you know, in an offensive possession to get guys open for, you know, meaningful rhythm three-point opportunities.
Finally, Dave, you have Kent State. They've started out 8-1 for Rob Senderoff. When you've popped in the DVD, what makes Kent State an 8-1 basketball team?
Well, they're just really, really explosive offensively. They've got a really good inside guy. You know, they got five guys basically average double figures. They got quick guards who can score off the bounce but can also shoot the three. They have a real mismatch problem at a four, you know, kind of a miniature big baby Davis, you know, can shoot threes and post you up and probably beat you to the fast food line after the game, too. And, you know, so they're just a really, really skilled offensive team, versatile. And you can't, you know, if you take one thing away, they're able to punish you by exploiting what you're doing defensively.
Dave, always a pleasure. Again, my apologies for the follow-up. That was all on me yesterday, but I appreciate the time that you came back today very, very much. Good luck at Kent State.
No problem, Steve. Have a good week.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Paulson, who just does, to me, just a great job as the head basketball coach at Bucknell. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. In fact, if you're going out to hunt with Kevin, we should get you a speed dial number to them as soon as possible. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Gerard and I are just talking about what to do about the car. So, and we're 0.6
I would take it home if I were you.
Well, no. I mean, like, the original itinerary had shoot around at 10:30 this morning, leaving at 9:45. And I said, you know, I looked over at Patrick and I said, so you do know that it's like an 8-minute walk. It's only 0.6 of a mile away. So they left at 10:25. Some days you wonder. Oh, well. They have Pitt tonight. Look, great backcourt for Penn State. Although Wright is a really good player. Really good player in the backcourt. Pitt probably has a better front court than Penn State, deeper. But this is a 50-50 game. This is a 50-50 game in the ACC Challenge coming up tonight. And this college basketball does a much better job of promoting its game. It's a longer season. They have more flexibility. No question about that. Okay? But of putting together a Big Ten ACC challenge, putting together the top four teams in the country playing at the United Center, putting together some of the tournaments they do early on before you then get to conference play. They do a lot of thinking in college basketball, and again, part of its length of the season and part of its flexibility. They do a lot of thinking outside the box to generate interest as opposed to what college football does in September. There aren't many games in September. Now, the SEC gets a little creative because they'll play like a conference game in September. Okay? Big Ten doesn't do that. Now, the Big Ten will have a conference game in September the year coming up, and that's Penn State at Rutgers. Why? Because that game was already scheduled as a non-conference game to begin with, so they did the intelligent thing and just kept the date and made that the conference opener. That's the reason why that date is in that game is in that spot, and why that game will be in the relative same spot in 2015. So, that is what, you know, But college football doesn't do the creative thing anymore. They used to have a pigskin classic. Penn State played in that against Arizona. Used to have a kickoff classic. Penn State played in a few of those, such as Nebraska, Georgia Tech, USC. So they played in some of those. You do have that game down in Arlington that they play every year, which is good. And the Big Ten did try to put together a Pac-12 challenge game, which then went by the boards because the Pac-12 could not change its schedule. Couldn't change its schedule around because they play 9 conference games. Well, the Big Ten is going to go to 9 conference games down the road, and I think they have to. And it's the creativity. Although I still, every time I think of creativity, I still think of you with a weapon in the woods.
Oh, please.
Have you ever bagged deer?
No, I have not.
Have you ever shot at one?
Yes.
So.
Yes, I did.
Guess what?
Yes, I did shoot at one.
And obviously missed.
Yes, it was moving at the time, and I had one clear shot for about a second.
Kevin, it's a deer. Of course it was moving.
Well, no, it was moving quickly is what I should have said. It was not moving at a slow walk, brisk pace. No, it was at a full sprint, I believe, at that particular moment. Going up and away. Not the best thing.
Why do I sense at the moment the story is being embellished?
No, I'd like to. Listen, if I was going to embellish the story, I would have said that I actually got hit the deer, but couldn't find it. It was really sad. I tracked the thing for hours. If I'm going to embellish, I'm going to do a lot better job.
Friend of mine always goes hunting up in northeastern Pennsylvania with his father. So he's telling me, a couple of years ago, he goes out into the woods with his father, and one of the two, and I don't know which one, got a deer. Well, being the son, he drags the deer out of the woods. So he's dragging the buck out of there. And finally he stops, and he's like, he's just going to sit down for a second, catch his breath. His father looks at him, he says, "What the heck's wrong with you?" So what's going on here? Come on. And he says, "Dad, I know you're my father." He says, "But I'm 54 years old now." And he goes, and the father looked at him and went, "Wow, I guess you're right." You still can't really let go sometimes of the father-son relationship. And all of a sudden, it hit the father head on. They're like, "Oh, wait a minute. You are not, you're young, but not that young. You're not 30 anymore."
I'm not 15, all right? This isn't our third trip out.
Okay, so does Daniel hunt?
Yes.
If you were to bag one, would you make him drag the deer out?
No, not alone, no. No, we'd do it together.
After you did the victory dance.
Of course. There would be a few victory dances, some texting. There might be a post or two from the field, and then drag it out.
Believe me, I would be the recipient of several of the texts.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
And a picture. And a picture. Oh, look. Look what I've done. Oh, no. Look what you've done. Oh, my goodness. All right, so you're going out Saturday.
Yes, there's with all hope that the weather is decent enough.
You might be able to track it because Friday we're talking about maybe 2.5 inches of snow.
Yes, that would actually be very helpful. So,
and if they would stop moving, it would help you too, right?
Well, that would be great. If you could get one to just stop in a clearing, that would be perfect. But I'm not overly picky. Just stopping somewhere would be fine.
Fabulous.
Best story I had was when I was the first year I actually had a gun. I was 12. my father and neighbor, and we all sat out, and it was raining the entire day. It was horrible. We had this plastic tarp over top of us, and you know, every once in a while you had to, you know, push the gun up to, you know, get the rain out of the pockets so the tarp didn't fall on top of you. And it was about 6 hours of just miserable. Gone through about 3 Hershey bars by that point, because that was our thing. We always had a Hershey bar to keep you warm, gets the blood circulating a little more with the blood sugar. And then just as I see a coming across the road, because we could see the road, I saw a deer. I got a little excited. I screamed out and pointed, "There's one!" It didn't take long for the deer to disappear.
Great strategy. I'll yell at it and see if it'll stop.
Stop! My father goes, "Yep, that is one." And that was it. That was it. That was the only one we saw the entire year, as well, the entire season as well.
Yes. Well, Penn State at Pitt tonight, it's part of the ACC Challenge. It's the first time I've ever had a chance to drive to the ACC Challenge. That's the nice thing about Pitt being in the ACC. They haven't sold out a game here this year. That's trending in college basketball until tonight. Tonight's game is sold out. They have been aching for this game for a while, and we're looking forward to it very, very much. So, yeah, it's a sellout here at the Pete. They're only a mere 105-3 against non-conference teams in this building.
And I guess Patterson was coming off a pretty good set of 3 games here last week, too. But
yeah,
he averaged 22.
Well. Yeah. So if you're going to go out in the woods and hunt on Saturday the same time Kevin is, we strongly recommend a trip or a call to Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. If he's out there the same time you are, you can't have enough life insurance.
What a way to get the sponsor in. Now, what's coming up in the next half hour?
Just you and me.
Great.
And I'm safe. I'm hundreds of miles away from your weapon.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Homeowners, business, auto. And with Kevin going out into the woods to hunt, might I emphasize life insurance? Notice how we tie the sponsor and Kevin's activities together with your well-being.
Glad I could help.
Am I thinking of your family here?
I'm so glad I could help.
Well, perfect. I'm glad you're contributing. It's terrific. So,
one of the latest things that happened to come across the Major League Baseball wire is Joe Nathan is a Tiger.
It's a big move because they've absolutely needed a closer. They've absolutely needed a closer in Detroit. Joe Nathan will be the guy that will, I think, give them the best shot at it. And I mentioned the Red Sox signed A.J. Pierzynski today. So you put him, left-handed bat, Ross, right-handed bat, gives him a good little 1-2 punch catcher, and Gerald Saltalamacchia will sign with somebody else.
Looks like at the Marlins
maybe
right
even
now.
With the Marlins?
Yeah, the Rangers... word is Rangers won't pursue him, but the Marlins might.
He knows the Marlins have no money, right?
Well,
just want to make sure he knows that before he goes out into the free world.
Maybe there's not a whole lot of other options, too. You know,
that's a good point. Well, basketball tonight, as I mentioned, now basketball has more flexibility and more non-conference games than football does. But basketball does do a better job of promoting in non-conference situations such as a Big Ten ACC Challenge, and things like that that just are a nice novelty that beefs up the schedule for everybody else. They try to make as many 50-50 games as possible. Location's going to mean something tonight, no doubt. Pitt's the home team, but this also, I think, on paper is a 50-50 game between these two. Now, the other times I've come down here to do Penn State-Pitt basketball games, whether it was in Fitzgerald or in the Pete, none of them were 50-50 games. And you knew that walking into the gym, they were not 50-50 games. The one game that Penn State won in the series, you know, since I was the 2000-2001 season where Penn State made the Sweet 16. Penn State beat Pitt that year 88-74. Joe Crispin had a huge night. And that was in the Jordan Center. And you knew that night, you know, just going in, Penn State was the better team. All the other times, whenever I've come to, I think I've done four games in the Pete. All four times, I knew Penn State did not have the firepower to match up with the talent that Pitt had on the floor. It's a little different this time coming in here. Penn State's a good basketball team. Now, Pitt shoots free throws really, really well. Really well. Patterson's had a really good year. He's over 17 a game. Wright, you watch him on tape, you can't help but like him. And each team also has, you know, a good player that comes off the bench and gives them offense. And for Penn State, obviously, that's Allen Roberts. He's the guy that comes off the bench and gives them some offense. But Pitt has a guy like that as well that comes off the bench and gives them offense in Duran Johnson. He's just a sophomore out of Baltimore, and he's averaging 10 a game. Good basketball player. So it makes a big difference when you go, you can go to a guy who can give you a little juice off the bench. Penn State probably will get a little more juice off the bench before the month is out when John Johnson, the former Pitt player, then becomes eligible. But he's not eligible for another 19 days to play. He will not be eligible for the December 22nd game when they take on Mount St. Mary's. So that shortens Penn State bench. Now, in a game like this, Graham Woodward has played a little bit more, did so at Barclays, played a little bit more. And Geno Thorpe, who's from Shaler, just down the road here, has played a little bit more. Julian Moore was not a good matchup against Ole Miss in terms of how big they are and where he fits in the scheme at the moment. So Patrick stayed away from that and that matchup. But in the end, Penn State missed a couple front ends. That didn't help. Timmy didn't have his best game shooting. He was 3 of 13. And they lost by 3 to Ole Miss. But you walk out of this thing, you know what? Penn State's a good basketball team. Pitt's 7-0. And not only 7-0, they're winning by big numbers. They're winning by big numbers. They're good. They are very, very good. And in their first season in the ACC, Jamie Dixon has a good basketball team. Very, very good. And it's a fabulous place to play. I mean, this is a basketball player's basketball court. It is 12,000, and everybody's on top of the court. And the Oakland Zoo says they can't wait to see Dick and me. They've already said that. They can't wait. So I know you wanted me to go over to Steelers camp for you today, and that list of things you wanted me to suggest to Mike Tomlin, I left it at the gate.
Well, the first thing is stay on the sideline and don't stick your foot on the field. That would be the first tip I would give him. And that's still being talked about. Here we are. It's almost a week and they're still talking about that.
Oh, I know. But what bothered me was when they were talking about draft choices. I'm sorry. If he ran out and he tackled the dude, okay. But you can just see he's just walking along, watching the scoreboard, and all of a sudden he looks up and realizes, like, I'm on the scoreboard. This can't be good. I better move. That's a finable offense. That's not a draft choice offense.
Well, and there should have been a flag thrown at that time, too, but...
Oh, no, they should have awarded him a touchdown. I mean, that's the reward for that. The reward for that is to reward him a touchdown on a play like that. So... Oh, well. But again, the list of things, it was a five-page list. I can come up with 5 pages. I mean, it's not like you wanted me to go and talk to Gus Bradley at Jacksonville, where you need all 5 pages.
Aaron Rodgers, not yet been cleared but he is still a possibility for this week.
Right, they hope that he'd be cleared by week 14, and he is not cleared yet. Seattle has emerged as a spot potentially for Robinson Cano. How about that? That's a little bit out of the box, isn't it? And Mark D'Antonio says that the winner of the Big Ten championship game should be in the national championship game. Says no matter which team wins the Big Ten title Saturday, says the winner should be considered for a berth in the BCS national championship game.
I don't know about that.
So they're 10th, by the way, if you're wondering about Michigan State. Their only loss was to Notre Dame early. They have not lost since. They are 11-1 right now. So we are not talking about Michigan State is not a – they're an old-fashioned style team. They're not flashy. You know, it's amazing. They have a better record than Oregon, you know, flash and dash Oregon. Michigan State has a better record.
But how do you make a comment like that, that the winner should be in the championship game?
Because he's fighting for his team. That's what he's fighting for, okay? Good for him. I'm glad he said it. Now, we can debate how realistic it is. We both know it's unrealistic, but you know what? I want to play for a guy that's going to fight for my right to be in the title game. If I'm going to be 12-1, why is my 12-1 worse than his 12-1? If I'm 12-1 and on a neutral field, not my home field, I beat Ohio State. You know, and I'm just telling you from his point of view.
Right.
This is the D'Antonio point of view. He's going to say, if I'm 12-1 and I beat Ohio State on a neutral field, which is undefeated and hasn't lost in 2 years, why is my 12-1 worse than Auburn's 12-1 because they beat Alabama but at home?
You know, I almost understand that, but there's a lot more teams that you need to leapfrog over yet. If you're Michigan State.
All right. And both know that what he is talking about is unrealistic. All right. Even if they win the game, Michigan State's going to the Rose Bowl. Okay. They're, you know, not the national championship game Rose Bowl, but the Rose Bowl. That's the game they'll play in if they beat Ohio State. In fact, they might still make the Rose Bowl even if they don't win the game. If they can stay in the top 14 and be representative. Remember, you have to be in the top 14. Wisconsin, which many thought was going to the Orange Bowl until Penn State ruined that. So they're out of it. The Big Ten, you know darn well, wants to have two BCS teams because that's an extra $4 million for the conference. That is where they are right now. And look, he's a coach that sits down and says, hey, look, if we win, we're 12-1, we should play in the national championship game. What's wrong with – okay, why is it so justified that Gus Malzahn's allowed to say that, but he can't say that, even though we know what D'Antonio's saying is unrealistic?
I guess anybody could say anything. If you don't want to back it up with any realistic point of view, I mean – you know, you could say, well, Northern Illinois deserves to be in the national championship game.
Okay, but he's 12-1. Okay, if they win the game, he's 12-1 on a neutral field. Will have just beaten Ohio State, which has gone 2 years without losing, and is ranked second in the country. What's the difference between beating Ohio State undefeated in 2 years on a neutral field? I'm just telling you his point of view here.
I understand.
All right. And Auburn, which would be 12-1, but beat Alabama on its home field. Now we know that Alabama is a great team. I get, you know, like I said, this is, I'm just telling you what his mindset is for making a statement like that. That's his mindset. That will be his argument when he sits down. Now you and I both know it's unrealistic.
I put Alabama ahead of Michigan State, quite honestly.
Yeah. But, you know, he's 10th in the polls. he'd have to leapfrog, you know, eight teams to get there. I got it. I completely get it. So you and I both know it's unrealistic, but I give him credit for showing that kind of confidence in his team and saying it.
No, I suppose that's true. Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, look, you're in a competitive. Yeah, you know, we're in a competitive business.
Yeah. I'm all for confidence. See, I wouldn't have had a problem if he said, you know, I think that the winner of the Big Ten championship game should have a shot at the national championship. But to say that it should be the national championship, I don't know about that. I just don't like the wording of it, I guess.
Hey, I don't blame him. Look, you want to look at his non-conference schedule versus the non-conference schedule Auburn played? His one loss is in his non-conference schedules to Notre Dame. Check Auburn's non-conference schedule. Do you see a Notre Dame in there anywhere? I'm not saying Notre Dame's a great football team, but they're better than anybody Auburn played in the non-conference schedule. Remember, outside of Alabama, nobody in the SEC ventures away from territory and plays anybody. Now, Florida does play Florida State. That's a non-conference game, so I've got that part. South Carolina plays Clemson. That's a state game. But who else plays anybody?
Yeah, but you know what? They should actually be ahead of South Carolina, in my mind, with the two losses that Stanford has, for one reason.
South Carolina should be ahead of Stanford?
Michigan State actually should be ahead of South Carolina because of the fact they have two losses, and one came to Tennessee.
Right.
I mean, just for that alone.
That's true. And I think that's accurate.
Steve, I have Dave from Sunbury on the line for you.
Hi, Dave. How are you today? Welcome to the show.
Well, when I heard that little statement, Steve, I just had to get in on it for one reason.
Sure.
I got no problem with a Michigan State coach saying that. When an athletic director of a team down south sticks his nose in there before the game's even played, and you didn't even know the outcome of the winner, he said the winner should play the national title. You still got another game to go anyway. So, Kevin, you're a little, you know, if you're going to stick your nose in there, let it play out before you get too froggy to leap.
No, I don't like to say that you have a matchup right now between a 2 and a 10 and that the winner should go in and play the national championship. If you want to say that we should have a shot at it, then that's fine. But to say that you should, that's a different story.
Well, Auburn got a four-bump leap in the one on that hill, you know, that should have been knocked down. They got a four-spot leap in that one alone. And that was a miracle for itself.
But you beat the number one team in the nation.
Not then. That was Georgia.
No, I'm talking about Alabama getting.
No,
you're talking a little further back yet.
Yeah, they got a four spot jump just for that. They should have lost that one out to begin with. If a guy, one guy knocked that down, you don't even get talking about that.
Although, Auburn, though, to its credit, did control much of that game against Georgia, and then Georgia came back. And then got the big tip play that led to the win at the end. But I'm just saying that when you have a subjective situation, they're both 12-1, okay? He's looking at you and he's saying, hey, look, here's my 12-1, there's your 12-1, what makes your 12-1 better? You beat Alabama, we beat Ohio State. You know, that's what he's saying. I'm just telling you what he's saying.
Yeah, well, I just said, you know, he said that the one that I was got a problem with was that athletic director before the game was even played. And it's at his home ballpark. And he's saying, well, the winner of this game should be national champ. But wait a minute here.
Right.
Let's just play a little bit more. I'll let you guys go.
What gets me is, okay, thanks, Dave. What gets me is the SEC seems to think they have a birthright to be in the national championship game. It's okay. Every once in a while, somebody else can go. It's all right. Next year, there's a 14 playoff, and it'll be the fifth and sixth teams that are mad instead of 3, 4, and 5.
That's true.
All right. We'll come back. We'll come back and wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Here's the quote from Mark D'Antonio. He said, the fact of the matter is we're 11-1 right now. We're playing in a championship environment. He says, we'll move from there, as he said. He said, don't limit yourself. Dream big. That's what I always tell my team. Well, what an awful sentiment to have. Terrible.
Well, I don't mind it in that context, but when you take it out of the context, it doesn't sound quite right.
That's all he says. He says, don't limit yourself. Dream big. That's what he says. He also admits that there are going to be some scenarios that have to happen for him to do it. He admits that.
Yeah, he needs a doctor, nurse, and a whole medical staff for that to happen.
Well, but you know what? Here's the odd thing. Say Duke were to beat Florida State. All right, now, at this point, we're getting far-fetched. But say Duke beats Florida State, and beats, Ohio State, and Auburn beats Missouri. You may have Auburn and Alabama playing in the championship game against each other. How about that scenario?
That's not happened before.
No. And I bet Alabama beats them by two touchdowns. I think it's going to be a little different this time in Pasadena as opposed to on the plains.
I would guess.
Just a guess. But that's what it would take. Duke would have to be Florida State. Michigan State would have to win over Ohio State. And Auburn would have to beat Missouri. If that happened, Auburn would be one, Alabama would be two, and they'd be playing in the title game. And that means Alabama would be in the title game for the second time in the last 4 years without having to play the championship game of its own conference, without even being the division winner in its own conference. They're like a wild card team. How about that? All right, are they taking draft picks from the Steelers? Let's see here. Is that a scenario?
Are they
no,
what?
I'm saying they might take a draft pick. Okay. No, they're not taking a draft pick yet from the Steelers. Don't panic, because I know you're hoping they lose as many games as possible so they can get a higher pick.
That's a ridiculous. Taking away a draft pick for that is ridiculous.
Boy, you sound kind of upset.
Well, I will be if they take away a draft pick. I'll put it that way.
Well,
they are desperately needed right now.
Yes, they are. All right, couple notes. First of all, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. It's only appropriate on the second day of deer season that we talk about Crosser Insurance and Kevin going into the woods on Saturday. If you're going into the woods Saturday at the same time as Kevin, stock up. There isn't enough insurance on the face of the earth. Don't you like how I bring you into the picture?
It's so nice of you. Thank you.
Anytime. Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. The Crotchers are laughing. But the other people in the woods around you aren't.